It is Wednesday, June 17th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Armed militants allied with Donald Trump have begun showing up at Black Lives Matter uprisings around the country. It's not right to call them counter-protests when their goal is to intimidate. Meanwhile, soldiers for two nuclear-armed states are going at each other with clubs and fists, one of the most remote parts of the world. Give you the best information we have on the Himalayan border conflict between India and China. And lastly, Oxford University researchers report a breakthrough COVID-19 treatment. Better still, it involves a cheap steroid drug that's widely available across the world.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Peaceful protesters in at least 98 cities across the U.S. suffered chemical attack by police departments in recent weeks, according to the New York Times. Such indiscriminate use of tear gas has not been seen stateside since the 1960s and 70s, when police used it to disperse civil rights and anti-war marches. These crowd control weapons are even more dangerous now on account of the coronavirus. In Buffalo, New York, the 75-year-old white man attacked by police last week remains in rehab. Martin Gugino's lawyer told CNN that the police left him with a skull fracture and he can no longer walk. In a statement through his lawyer, Gugino said, quote, "There are plenty of other things to think about besides me," end quote. All the same, best wishes. Nearly 60 Buffalo cops resigned from their department emergency response unit after the attack on Gugino. CNN also reported that officers in South Florida, Atlanta, and Minneapolis were resigning from crowd control assignments or from police work entirely. In Richmond, Virginia, the chief resigned after a police SUV drove through a crowd of protesters. Meanwhile, Donald Trump met privately with the family of Ahmaud Arbery, the young man murdered by white suburbanites while jogging in Georgia. Trump also signed an executive order yesterday banning police chokeholds unless the officer fears for his life. As critics noted, Trump's order has loopholes big enough to drive an armored vehicle through. Reactionary forces appear to be escalating their violence ahead of Trump's rally in Oklahoma on Saturday. Some press are calling these counter-protests. However, it's more accurate to say they are shows of force by pro-Trump militants who are, to varying degrees, in league with police. In Missoula, Montana, hundreds of people rallied to protest the recent appearance of such militants at pro-BLM events. The small town of Bethel, Ohio, 700 right-wing militants, some armed with guns or baseball bats, and belonging to motorcycle gangs, showed up to intimidate a group of 80 BLM demonstrators. Police joined a Back the Blue event in South Philadelphia to defend a Columbus statue and to support a police captain who accused journalists of inciting a riot. In Seattle, known members of violent right-wing groups showed up to make trouble at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. In Troy, New York, several men were arrested after bringing body armor and assault rifles to a BLM event. Police said they also carried a tactical manual from the right-wing New England militia. And in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right-wing militia claimed they had no knowledge of a man who was arrested after firing shots into a crowd of protesters. The shooter, Stephen Ray Baca, sought to protect a statue of 16th-century conquistador who slaughtered indigenous people. Police radio reportedly described the right-wingers as, quote, "armed friendlies," end quote. Despite such threats, uprisings continue around the globe. Our best count has more than 3,500 protests since May 25th, most of them in the U.S. Border skirmishes between India and China have escalated, and this is very bad news for the whole world. Both countries have nuclear weapons. At least 20 Indian Army soldiers died in fighting along the contested border with China in the Himalayas on Monday. They were the first soldiers to die along that border in 45 years. Indian sources claim the Chinese also suffered casualties, but China did not confirm this. China may have captured dozens of Indian soldiers, this according to the New York Times. Good information from the remote border region is hard to come by. Neither side claims shots were fired. Reports say the opposing soldiers went after one another with rocks, clubs, and fists. Some of the clubs may have been studded with nails or wrapped with barbed wire. That this could take place in 2020 shows you how much sense it makes for any country to maintain nuclear weapons. The whole thing may have begun after an Indian officer fell into a gorge, leading to a call for reinforcements. This according to the Guardian newspaper. This is not the first recent skirmish in that border area, as listeners know, but it is the most deadly. China sees an ulterior motive in India's expansion of road infrastructure, and the suspicion goes both ways. China has also fortified its positions. Everybody keep it cool. Pretty please?
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Scientists reported a major breakthrough in coronavirus treatment. For the first time, a randomized clinical trial showed that a cheap, commonly available drug can increase the chance of survival in COVID-19 patients who are seriously ill. The drug, dexamethasone, is used to treat the inflammation that goes with many conditions, including arthritis and asthma. The clinical trial was carried out by researchers at Oxford University. The results have not been peer-reviewed. Want to make that clear, they have not been peer-reviewed. However, doctors and scientists express strong optimism about what their British counterparts have reported. Per the BBC, the trial found patients on ventilators who received the steroid drug were one-third less likely to die. The drug may also prevent some of the organ damage caused by people's own immune systems that can happen with COVID-19. The lead researcher, Martin Landry, said the benefits are clear and the drug is globally available. Essentially, he said, it costs £35, that's $44 or so, to save a life. But what will the insurance companies say? A breakthrough couldn't come at a better time. Yesterday, Florida, Texas, and Arizona all reported record one-day increases in coronavirus cases.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Pacific Gas and Electric pled guilty to 84 counts of manslaughter for its role in the 2018 Camp Fire. That fire claimed as many lives as there were manslaughter charges, plus one death ruled a suicide. Yesterday, the California Utilities CEO, Bill Johnson, stood in a Butte County court and answered guilty to every criminal charge. That certainly hurt more than the modest $3.5 million fine agreed to in the plea deal with prosecutors. A new book by Donald Trump's only known niece describes the family as, quote, a nightmare of traumas, destructive relationships, and a tragic combination of neglect and abuse, end quote. The author, Mary L. Trump, is a trained clinical psychologist. Her book is titled Too Much and Never Enough. The publisher, Simon & Schuster, is also putting out former Trump advisor John Bolton's book, which the White House is attempting to suppress. The German public broadcaster reported yesterday that for three decades before reunification, officials in West Berlin knowingly placed homeless children with foster parents who were pedophiles. Researchers at Hildesheim University interviewed victims and pored over records to make the shocking determination. They found the so-called experiment was effectively sanctioned at the highest levels and included prominent academics. An internal Central Intelligence Agency report released yesterday to the public in redacted form found the largest data theft in agency history took place because the people involved were too focused on building new weapons. The data theft took place in 2016 and was revealed in 2017 by WikiLeaks. In the release, the website called Vault 7. No doubt, everyone at the CIA has learned a lot of valuable lessons since then. Maybe.
Quicker. Quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon, live at noon on the Majority Report, and later as a podcast wherever your podcasts are found.